This conference will now be recorded.
And at the conclusion of this call, AUCD will create a document including submitted questions and answers. This document will be available on the AUCD webpage listed on the RFA. I'd also like to encourage you to email your questions during any time during this call, and if possible, we'll respond to those questions during the call. If not, we will respond to them after the call through the FAQ document. So just to review quickly the agenda for today's call, first we're going to have Claudia, Angela, and Lou provide a very brief background and purpose of the Interprofessional Leadership Consortium model. Then I'm going to provide a very brief overview of the highlights and key points in the application and the application process. Then I'm going to go through a couple of the questions that we've received to date on the RFA, and then open the conversation to your questions, and we'll do our best to respond to them as we can. So to start off today's call, I'd like to invite Angela, Claudia, and Lou to provide a brief background and purpose of the Leadership Consortium model.
Thank you, Megan. This is Angela Rosenberg, and I'll try to speak loudly so everyone can hear me. I am traveling right now, so if I disappear, I know that Claudia and Lou will both chime in for more information. But first, I want to thank you, Megan, for organizing this and AUCD and MCHB for providing us this opportunity, and I say us for all of us in the network. And I'll just step back and say I think the reason this has really been initiated was due to some strong interest on the part of certainly the LEND training directors and MCHB and AUCD and looking at leadership learning model that we have been doing and conducting at UNC really over the past 9 or so years, where we bring a selected group of trainees together for a very intensive year of a specific interdisciplinary leadership training. And that includes a number of elements and scales that we use and a model that we've evaluated over those years. We had the good fortune of about 4 years ago to enter a competition to look and evaluate interdisciplinary training, and we were able to evaluate 7 cohorts of graduates who had gone through this type of training and actually had a small control group of LEND, MCH, public health, social work, dentistry, and I'm forgetting one, Lou, help me.
Nutrition
graduates of our program. When we looked at the data, we were very pleased to see that our training programs were doing a wonderful job in interdisciplinary training, and the attitudes, skills, and beliefs of those that graduated show that our graduates in all the programs were really gaining from this interdisciplinary cohort that they engaged in. This really remarkable news was that we found significant evidence that those who went through this specific leadership track, for lack of a better word, called the MCH Consortium at UNC, showed significantly greater values in their skills and attitudes, but most importantly, in their interprofessional practice with organizations and systems. So, we were very pleased with those findings, and we just provided an extensive report to MCHB in the last month, and so they're looking at that. And I think due to that that evidence and also to the great work that all of the programs nationwide have been doing, there's an interest by many of the training directors, I think, in all programs to really look at this model and really sort of work as a learning group to study elements of the model, training tools associated with the model, the instruments used, and then it is the hope of MCHB and AUCD that there would be some standardization with some home variation, of course, due to geographic and cultural differences in looking at this kind of leadership boot track training over time and with measurement using some of the tools we use in the evaluation study that we put forth. Lou, Claudia, can you help me there?
I think it's a good summary.
I think it's a good summary.
Yeah, I agree. I think that that's a very good summary.
Great. Thank you, Angela. And I'm sure there'll be we'll handle the questions at the end. What I'd like to do now is to provide an overview of some of the key points of the RFA. First of all, there will be up to 6 teams chosen for this collaborative. The deadline for this application is May 4th at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Applications will be submitted online through the AUCD website at www.aucd.org/app. If you are having any troubles with the application, you can contact myself or Oksana here at AUCD. We'll do our best to try to get through those with you. The notification of the award will be made on May 11th. Each application will receive a letter from AUCD informing you of the status of your award, whether you're chosen or not. All successful applications will then be listed on the AUCD website. As far as the expectations for the application, there will be an orientation call for all successful teams on June 14th at 2:30 Eastern Time. It is expected that 3 members of your team will attend a 4-day workshop in North Carolina. This has been scheduled for July 31st through August 3rd in Chapel Hill. I understand they're going to be ordering some cooler weather down in North Carolina during that time for us. Isn't that right, Angela?
Yeah, that's
is that
the agreement.
Was that in the application?
It was not. It was actually in the fine print at the end. And during this 4-day workshop, attendees will be expected to begin to develop aspects of their site-specific development plan. Technical assistance will also be provided throughout the year for this collaborative, but there will be 2 dedicated workshops held during the or just before the AUCD annual meeting in December, another in February, just before or just after the AMCHIP meeting, and those are to be determined. There will be monthly technical assistance conference calls starting in September. And then the program will also require that you will collect and report on participant evaluation data in order to assess the impact of this learning collaborative on your program. Again, the application, it can be found online at the AUCD website, and it must include a narrative of no more than 2 pages. Successful applications will indicate their commitment to the fidelity of the Interprofessional Leadership Consortium model and learning methods, with an understanding that your program may tailor the learning methods to meet the needs and capacity of your program home site. The application must also contain a list of proposed team members and a letter of support from the applicant program director or PI. Okay, I'd like to go very briefly through some of the questions that I've received up to this point, and then I'd like to open it up for questions among our participants of this call. I remind you that you're welcome to send me an email also if you have any questions and you want to send them electronically. I'd be happy to address them when I receive them. Also, if you have any questions after this call, again, they will be included in the frequently asked questions list. Okay, so one question I received was in regard to long-term trainees and whether or not a trainee may be included in the 3-person travel team to go to UNC. There was a question about including a trainee to collaborate on all these learning initiatives. The Learning Collaborative team did discuss this issue. We decided that although this could potentially be a wonderful opportunity for the trainee, the applicant would need to include a justification regarding how this trainee would be involved in the ongoing leadership training within that program. So in other words, would that person in the program be planning to be kept on as faculty? And if that is not the case, then perhaps that trainee would be better as a member of the home team and not necessarily the travel team. Okay. Another question, again, I'm happy to answer any additional questions on that issue if they come up. Another question I received was, how is this program different from a train-the-trainer program? And I'm going to ask the UNC folks to handle that question.
Did you ask how it's different from a train-the-trainer program?
Correct. How is this not a train-the-trainer program?
Okay.
How is it different then?
I think the main difference, and again, I'll look to my colleagues, this is Angela, In many ways, it can serve as somewhat of a train-the-trainer program. Our intent was to have those that come to this training both experience the model themselves by actually, they will go through the instrumentation, the assessment tools, so that they experience what would be put forward, and also that they will have then time to work in working teams about the actual model itself and how to adapt to the home site. It is not an education program, and therefore we can't suggest that it's a train-the-trainer in that for individuals to actually administer these types of assessment tools, they would need specific certification. It doesn't preclude individuals from going back and obtaining those certifications, and we will provide all and any information we can about how that process could move forward at individual sites. But we can't claim that it's a train-the-trainer per se, due to the fact that those who would be facilitating this type of training would need certain certifications, at least those parts of the training. In terms of other aspects, leadership and action, tool building, skill building, we would really hope that those that attend will both experience some sessions involving those tools, and then we'll work to actually do that at their home site, and that will be the carry forward.
Yeah, I think that pretty much covered it. I don't really have, I'm happy to answer questions about it, but I don't, this is Claudia, I don't have a lot to add to that.
Great. Thank you. The last question that I had received was about problems with any online application. And again, if you do have any problems with the application online, please feel free to contact me at AUCD or Oksana. We'd be happy to help you address any of those. And I know we've had one just today, so we'll see if we can get to the bottom of that. And if there are any anything you need to know about that process, any specific information, I'm happy to include that in the frequently asked questions. So at this point, I'd like to open it up for any general questions. And I would ask that before you ask your question, if you could just give your name and the maternal and child health funded program that you work with. Thank you.
Question. This is Betsy Humphreys from New Hampshire, from the New Hampshire LEND program. And I am familiar with this a little bit, having attended training last summer in Chicago with Angela and Lou. And I'm curious about the reporting on outcomes that you mentioned, Megan, and how that would, what would the timing be of the report that was required? Would it be integrated into the non-competing continuation report, or would it be a separate reporting mechanism that we would be responsible for if we were to be one of the teams?
Betsy, that's an excellent question. I don't think that we have gone through the specifics of that reporting process. Not sure, Angela, what your thoughts on that are.
I can speak to that a little bit. We are going to have a conference call shortly about the evaluation, but hi, Betsy, it's good to hear from you, and I think that's a great question. Our hope is that we had an earlier sort of mini session in Chicago that was at that time, we had not released our report of the evaluation that we did in the three-year study to MCHB, but now we have. And so what we're hoping to do is look for more pilot data on outcomes from this type of targeted leadership track. So what we would, I know that we would definitely look to sites to collect that kind of evaluation survey data for us as the cohort, as they implement the program and cohorts progress. Through the programs at various sites with some differentiation, and we would, I think MCHB is very interested to see any outcomes from that cohort, prospective cohort data. And then the other piece is that among training directors or others from programs that attend this particular collaborative, you will yourselves be experiencing this actual CD training on site. And so we may look to evaluate in effect how this changes programs in and of themselves as they move forward incorporating this into home sites. So there's sort of two parallel paths of data collection there. In terms of reporting, I really probably would look to AUCD and the Bureau in terms of integration of any of that. But I can say that we would definitely want to collect that type of data. And I suspect programs would collect that data anyway as they look to report in various databases, including NEARS. So Lou, I know you're going to be a little bit more on the evaluation side of things. Did you have anything that you want to add to that?
No, just to underscore that what we would like to collect in order to help all of us understand this process is likely to be different from what might be involved in an annual report at this time. But maybe over time this would inform what is in an annual report. So again, it would be AUCD and the Bureau that would decide what they would expect in terms of their usual reporting.
Angela, this is Judith Holt from the Utah Regional End, and I also attended the training in Chicago. As I'm listening to you, am I assuming correctly that we would need to revise or rework our curriculum somewhat to include, and this is in quotes, the intervention that you're describing for leadership?
Hi, Judith. That's a great question. And I'll sort of respond to that with a little bit of a, I don't know. right now at UNC, what we've done is try very, very much to integrate this into each of our, and you have to understand this is not just Lynn, but we have our MCH public health program, social work, Lynn. We had dentistry, and we have audiology and communication disorders. So we actually have, four programs currently, and we have had up to five programs involved in this. So for us, we have tried to make this a seamless curriculum embedded in each of our curricula, and we've been able to do that. So in saying that, I think, yes, there is some shifting in that, you are asking trainees to really, we ask our trainees to absolutely commit to this. It is what I would call a bit of a pullout, and I only say that because I think there's great importance that we found in our evaluation to really saying to trainees, this is over and above, or in some ways somewhat different, or at least a parallel track within your training, in that you're committing to working with a cohort of people and really studying and engaging yourself in all the parts that really are required of really being an interdisciplinary leader, which is understanding and reflecting, negotiating conflict, communication skills, etc. So we have found there's value in saying we have our coursework in developmental disabilities in our lens. You have your public health curricula. This is distinct and extremely important, and in calling it that, we believe there's value. So whether that takes away or I think adds to your current program, I think that is what really will be carved out in the learning collaborative and strategy shared. I know I'll just say that Eileen McGrath is on the call from Arizona, and I they are doing many pieces of this, and actually I would say have sort of been a pilot, and I applaud them in being a bit of a pilot without even realizing they were going to be a pilot for this learning collaborative. And while theirs is different, they are incorporating aspects of the UNC model and yet tailoring it to meet Arizona's unique fabric. And I think it's been a really beautiful, beautiful example. So Eileen, feel free to speak up. I don't know if you'd like to. But Judith, I hope that answers your question a little bit.
Yeah, that's helpful.
So this is Ray from the New Hampshire Lend also, and I've been wondering if there's going to be preference for sites that have multiple MCH programs, or if we just have a Lend program, will that be enough to apply for this?
Megan, do you want to address that? Or
sure.
Do you want me to speak?
I'll tackle that one.
Okay.
There is not a preference per se. However, we are looking for diversity in our applications if possible. So being a LEND program is obviously not a negative. But we are hoping that we receive, diverse applications, but it is not a negative if you apply as a LEND program.
I just wanted to add to that, in that I think we're aware that, different programs have a different constellation of MPH partnerships. Some are sole programs. And so for you, Betsy, I think what might be important if you might want to seek this out is, are there programs that share values for interdisciplinary training where you are? And if so, and it may not be an actual MPH program, but it might be a related allied health or some other program that would be very interested in this type of collaborative interdisciplinary training. And that might be something to consider.
Yeah, and actually we've been having some discussions about that across colleges here at the University of New Hampshire, and there is indeed some interest in that. So thank you for suggesting that. I do have one other question. We are partnering with the state of Maine, and we are now, at this point in time, one LEND program. So I'm not even sure you would consider us a regional program. I don't actually know what we are at this time. We're partners with Maine, and we have one LEND program. So the question arose at our recent management team meeting about whether this application would actually be one or two. And my guess, but I want to put it forward as a question, is that we would submit one application at this time and implement in two locations. Is that a correct assumption?
Would this be a collaboration between those two programs? Or just
We currently partner with them within our LEND program, so they are, we have a formal collaboration in this grant cycle for the next 5 years with the state of Maine. And so if we enter into this application process, they would need to be on board with us. And I'm just double-checking the process that it would be one application because we are one LEND program. Is that right?
Yes. I would say yes with the implementation, regional, as you mentioned. So the implementation would be both in Maine and New Hampshire.
So it's likely that our team, were we to be one of the six, would be made up of a faculty from each institution, and or two faculty from UNH and one from UMaine, probably, for the traveling team.
Right.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, Megan. This is Vaughn Rickert from IU LEAH program. Could someone comment as to the associated cost by the applicant relative to the implementation of materials, the psychological instruments? What kind of cost am I looking at for that? It's number four. I mean, I can figure out the travel to and from DC and to and from UNC that I would have to pick up and write for that you're not going to provide, but I don't know as to how much number four might cost, either per trainee or some kind of overall cost.
Right.
I'll try to tackle that, and then I'm going to ask Claudia to wait.
Yeah, I've got the data in front of me, Angela, so I can answer very specific things. I'm happy to do that.
Okay. I'm just going to speak overall. I think what we would, and this has been a really tough conversation, because given that there are a number of psychological instruments, one needs to consider that you either have to hire or certify someone on your faculty, which I think is very doable. And we will provide all kinds of information about how that could be done online or at sites in your area. Once that said, you can also hire people to come in and do pieces of the training. So the cost to the program, depending on the size of the program, and I'm going to let Claudia give you some numbers, is for psychological instruments and to hire someone to come in and administer those. In terms of other aspects of carrying forward with tools and skill building, I think that could be done by educators or trainers at various sites within faculty. The other piece is, and this is what can be extremely variable, at Chapel Hill, we share costs among, like I said, four different partners programs. But we have our training at off-site facilities, so that brings costs up for facilities, food, travel costs for trainees going to and from sites. That will be extremely variable at sites. So Claudia is going to give you numbers about instruments and a bit more information on that. But just keep in mind that after that, it really depends on the site and how you want to implement that, where you want to implement it.
Okay.
So we use a series of psychological assessment instruments. We are very, very dedicated to, maybe I should say married to, using those that are valid and reliable. There's a lot of leadership assessment instruments available online, probably about 2,500 of them at any point in time, and only about 2 to 5% of them have validity and reliability testing with them. So we found that that's a very important thing for the fidelity of what we're doing, is to actually use the same kind of tools for leadership development that we would want our people to use in a clinical setting, which would be valid and reliable ones. So we have the four that we've chosen to use have a raw cost of, we spend about $77 per participant on these instruments. And because Angela and I are certified and licensed to use these, we can actually get them at the absolute raw cost. There may be other opportunities to get them in your organizations. You may have an HR department that can do some of these as well, and so you could talk to them about what they might be able to do for you. And as Angela said, there's always the opportunity to pursue certification if this is something that you would be very interested in and adding to your profile of what you do career-wise.
Okay, in terms of that, a follow-up question. Are these? Do you have to be certified above and beyond being a licensed psychologist?
That I do not know about. The Consulting Psychologist Press owns the copyright, owns the intellectual property for two of the instruments that we use, and that would be a question for them. I would suspect that if you've taken the statistics courses around psychological instrumentation, that does qualify you, but that would be a question for them.
Okay.
And I can even add to that. Yeah, and I was just going to add to that. You know, one of the instruments, for example, is the Myers-Briggs, the MBTI type indicator. Once certified in that, depending on your area of expertise, your discipline, another instrument called the FIRO-B, you can use that instrument. So, again, the good part also about some of these certification processes, and I think this has shifted dramatically over time, with online education, is that almost all of these instruments have online certification processes, which makes it much easier for sites all over the country to access and become have individuals become certified if, as Claudia said, you have someone that would like to do so, or a number of people that would like to do so.
Okay, thank you.
Any additional questions? Anything, Angela, Claudia, Lou, you'd like to add?
I'll just add something because I think it's been an ongoing topic, certainly at our AECD training directors conferences, is that we'd love to see some standardization in the use of both instruments and survey evaluation data on our training cohorts. So I think it's just a wonderful opportunity not only to discuss the work that we're discussing on this call and what we hope to put forward, but really to discuss how this can move forward and really hopefully result in some excellent data collection and shared strategies for training, because I do think sites are doing incredible training programs, so we can adapt and share elements over time. So I think it's I applaud MCHB and AUCD and coming together to move something like this forward. I think it's a great, it'll be a great opportunity for all of us.
I agree. AUCD is very excited about this initiative, and we hope to have a lot of applications. We hope we can get the six up to six that we've set aside fund for. Very quickly, I wanted to see if Laura Cavanaugh had a chance to join us. Oh, that's unfortunate. I know she had a budget meeting she was hoping to escape from so that she could join this group, because I know she's very supportive of this project as well. And we really look forward to hopefully working with a number of you on this call on this initiative. Any last questions?
Megan, this is Claudia. If possible, sure. If Eileen, I heard you're on the call. Hi, Eileen.
Hello.
Are you still here?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I was wondering if we might invite Eileen to talk about it from her perspective, because, like Angela said, she's been a pilot project before any of us understood that we were really piloting this. Would you be comfortable saying something about what you guys have done?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Last August, Angela and Claudia came to Arizona and provided 2.5 days of this MCH Leadership Consortium, focusing in on the maternal child health leadership competencies. And all of our participants, which included 14 trainees and 10 faculty, 10 out of 15 faculty were able to attend, completed activities surrounding the maternal child health leadership competencies, the Myers-Briggs type indicator, the change style indicator, and the FIRO-B. And then in December, we had a day-long seminar on conflict management with Angela and Vaughn Upshaw. And the feedback from trainees and faculty has been overwhelmingly positive and supportive. We were one of the states that had a planning grant. And from January to May of, 2011, we practiced our seminars, and it was a struggle to get people to communicate and share their views. After we completed the 2.5-day seminar in August, we did not have that difficulty at all. We had six of the planning grant trainees join us as long-term trainees for this year. And it was just amazing, the difference in group dynamics, both for faculty and trainees. And we have scheduled Angela and Claudia to come out again in August to work with our second cohort of trainees and our faculty that were not able to attend last year.
And one of the things that Arizona has done is they've adopted the core of the intensive training, but then the rest of the year they've done their own training that's really customized to what, as Angela said, the fabric of Arizona, to their trainees, to the learning objectives that they want to accomplish and the goals that they have. So they've also really been able to make this very much their own. And so that's one of the things that I think this is an opportunity for, is to explore the kind of leadership training that is very effective in these preclinical students and to help them be more interdisciplinary in their practice now and then after they graduate. Lou, Angela, Eileen, anything to add to that?
I think that's good.
No, I appreciate what Eileen said. And I really feel like, really any of the sites on this call or who apply can not only adapt it like Arizona has, but I think they can pursue this training in any way they like and move forward. I think it'd be very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Any other comments? Great. Well, again, feel free to send any questions that you have after this call. We'd be happy to respond to them as soon as possible. And again, the applications are due May 4th. I hope this call has been helpful. Thank you all for participating, and have a wonderful afternoon.
Thank you, Megan.
The moderator has disconnected.